Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything. She loves to move, she loves to groove, she loves a lot of things. Ooh, all night, all night, oh, every night.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Friday. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have the Transgressive Memorial Service, or as probably you think of it, the Woe Unto All Who Offend service, where we talk about the things that got canceled this week or might get canceled. And, you know, I play the role of a woke pastor commemorating the passing of so many things. A couple of things I've been trying to get off of my, like, never quite have enough time in the show to get to list, but I definitely have a bunch of these things that are really very important. This is one, and they're all, some of these have to do with, like, pretty important court cases that I don't think I've seen really much about in what I would call other news. And it may be for the same reason I didn't cover it. They're complicated stories, and they're significant, but you don't know what to do with it. You know the Hearst case here in Pensacola? This was the horrible murder back in the Popeyes on Nine Mile Road, you know, many, many years ago. And this case was a focal point of death penalty jurisprudence. Because the Florida death penalty, this went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they issued a ruling which struck down our capital sentencing statute. Okay, so this trial and this person have been at the center of the conversations about what the rules are for capital punishment for decades now. Before the Hearst case got to 2006, in 2016, got to the Supreme Court, okay? The way this worked is that the jury would make a majority recommendation of death or life in prison, okay? And on a capital trial, you have a 12-person jury. Every other thing in Florida is a 6-person jury. That's actually a whole separate law case that might happen right now, by the way. But sticking to this one, for death penalty cases, the jury makes a majority recommendation of death or life in prison. The judge ruled on aggravating factors because you have to have aggravating factors in order to justify the death penalty, and then can either raise the ruling from life to the death penalty or diminish the punishment from a death recommendation down to life, okay? So the judge kind of had the ultimate say. The Supreme Court of the United States struck that down and said that the jury must unanimously find an aggravating factor to justify the death penalty. So in March of 2016, we amended the statute. The legislature amended the statute and required a unanimous finding of an aggravating factor by the jury, and also that we had to have a 10-2 at least to recommend for death. You follow? So this was the adaptation to the first round. In October 2016, Florida Supreme Court ruled that the Hearst, that the standards we had required something a little bit different than the law required. Every aggravating factor must individually be found beyond a reasonable doubt. Aggravating factors must, on their own, be sufficient for the death penalty. The aggravating factors must outweigh the mitigating factors, and the jury must recommend death unanimously. In March 2017, we amended the statute again in order to accommodate what the Florida State Supreme Court had said, that the jury must find unanimously for the aggravating factor and recommend death unanimously, no longer 10-2, but 12-0. And then in October of 2022, we had the Parkland trial finally came to a conclusion. Nicholas Cruz was sentenced to life only because the jury agreed unanimously on aggravating factors, but they did not unanimously agree that the aggravating factors outweighed the mitigating factors. So a couple of people were able to thwart the execution order for Nicholas Cruz. In April of last year, we amended the statute again, requiring unanimous finding of aggravating factors, but only an 8-4 recommendation for death. And the judge can recommend down, okay, to life, but cannot enhance to death. Now, if that's not unclear enough, I understand. It's an unclear process. That is as clear as I can make it for you. So that's where we stand right now. You've got to have 8 votes for a death sentence. The recommendation must be for death, and there has to be unanimous agreement among the jury that the factors, even if they don't actually rule for death, the factors would justify the death sentence. Okay, that's where we're at right now. This is as a trying to revise again to accommodate. Now, here's the problem. When your trial happens and when the process begins or is ongoing is now one of the determining factors for which standard you wind up having gotten sentenced under. There's a guy named Michael James Jackson who was convicted in 2005 of murders in Jacksonville. He's among about 40 death row inmates whose resentences were pending while the 8-4 law went into effect. A jury voted 8-4 in 2023 to recommend execution for him, and a judge issued the death sentence. Two other people involved in the same exact incident as he was, but whose trials came up before the law was changed, required there to be unanimity from the jury. So, same people, same crime, two different standards for recommending death because of the time of when the trial happened. And his lawyers are saying a law that denies jurors the equal right to have their voices heard is potentially unconstitutional, and a legal standard that changes based on when your trial happens, as in had Mr. Jackson's resentencing proceeded just months earlier under the unanimity statute, he would have received a different sentence like one of his co-conspirators did, because one was ordered to be executed and one was not ordered to be executed. And he has an 8-4. You follow? Imposing sentences of death based on chance is the antithesis of the protections afforded by the Eighth Amendment. That's the cruel and unusual punishment clause. And likewise, Article 1, Section 10 of the Florida Constitution. So, and also his trial was partially delayed because of a hurricane. So it's not just that the date, but that a hurricane happened, pushed his trial back in time into the new standard, allowing him to be sentenced to death. So, yeah, I would expect this is going to go to the Supreme Court, and I have no idea what they're going to rule on this, but ever since the Hearst case, the Florida State standards on the death penalty have been in utter shambles and chaos as we have consistently tried and retried to make them make sense, and they really don't, and this is a good example of why they don't right now. 616 on News Radio Pensacola, John's got our traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. I'm starting to see some backup right now on Highway 29 between East Tejar and Jordan Street. So we've got some backup there. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Specifically, I'll say negotiating with General Counsel.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, 1211 takes the stage.
To love me like I love on you.
Playing a mix of classic oldies, top 40, country, and hip-hop, 1211 is an energetic and dynamic pop R&B band. So grab your blanket and lawn chair and enjoy Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Rob Schneider, a comedian most famous for his leading roles in The Animal, The Hot Chick, and Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. Asked to perform this week at a charity fundraiser for the Hospitals of Regina Foundation in Canada, Mr. Schneider had to be removed from the stage mid-performance because he persisted in telling jokes that offended the sensibilities of the host organization and their members. Specifically, he had the gall to make jokes about the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccination policies, sexual minorities, and our dear transgender othering. Even though the sold-out event raised over $350,000 for the charitable foundation, the hospital organization immediately distanced itself from Schneider's offensive content and issued a press release following the debacle, saying, "While we recognize that in a free and democratic society, individuals are entitled to their views and opinions, and that comedy is intended to be edgy, the content, positions, and opinions expressed during Mr. Schneider's set do not align with the values of our foundation and team. A decision was therefore made to ask Mr. Schneider to end his performance earlier than intended, to which he agreed and immediately left the stage. An unconditional apology was offered right after to our guests and our community. We reiterate this sincere and unconditional apology today for any offense caused." What a touching and profound denouncement of Schneider's inappropriate comedic performance. Now, I know that some commentators have asked how this could have possibly come as a surprise to the hospital organizers, since Rob Schneider has not been shy about his views and he is well known for saying offensive things. But to this we say, what a brilliant move. Invite someone to an event under the guise of performing comedy. Wait for him to fall into the trap of saying offensive things and then rip the microphone out of his hand and publicly apologize for his indecency. But the HRF has now actually gone the extra mile. All references to Schneider and the event have been completely scrubbed from the foundation's website. It's as if it never happened at all. This charade of faux outrage and revisionism is the sort of thing that Winston Smith could only dream about in George Orwell's classic instruction manual, 1984. Baiting a heretic into openly espousing his sins, humiliating him publicly for his transgression, and then purging all records of his very existence at the event? Bravo, Canada. Bravo. We Americans can only stand back and watch in awe at how efficient you have become at restricting the liberty and expression of the unrepentant. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, again. This time for his signature on HB 1203, a bill that dramatically reduces the power of homeowners associations to regulate the behavior of their residents. This new law stops HOAs from doing some very important work. HOAs can no longer tell you how to decorate the interior of a home if you can't see that decor from the street. HOAs can't prohibit vegetable gardens or air conditioning units in the backyard anymore. HOAs can't forbid residents parking their cars in their own driveways anymore. HOAs can't even penalize residents for having garbage cans out within 24 hours of scheduled pickups. And perhaps most horrifyingly, HOAs can no longer issue fines for residents who leave holiday decorations up for too long. All of this, of course, leads us to ask, well, then what are HOAs even able to do now? As all of you who have completed your Level 3 coursework on advanced studies and preparing the modern American for more effective thought control know, the invention of the Homeowners Association was actually one of our order's greatest accomplishments. At the 42nd Annual Conclave on Global Sheepification held in 1963 at the Mephistopheles Institute in East Timor, our order first proposed the creation of a paragovernmental regulatory concept that would serve to control people's lives in minor, inconvenient, and capricious ways so that they would become more amenable in general to intrusive regulation by actual governments. From this conclave was born the original idea of the HOA, a perfect vehicle for training covenant-restricted community residents that the will of the individual must always be subordinated to the will of the commune, or community, and embedding the idea of not offending your neighbors in the root-level consciousness of the average American suburban psyche. Dear brethren, sistren, and otherin, for over 60 years, your order has successfully transformed the American social landscape with HOAs and their arbitrary enforcement of obscure rules through fear, threats, intimidation, and fines. Obviously, this is such a wonderful framework from which to grow the necessary social virtue of unquestioning submission to authority that our religion prioritizes. As we like to chant, he who obeys the HOA will always do what other men say. And to see the reprehensible governor of the free state of Florida take any steps to interfere with these intrusions on private property and liberty by HOAs is really a step back toward a country in which people control their own lives? For shame, Governor DeSantis. For shame. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, our strongest congratulations for the forward-leaning thought leaders at the Naval Special Warfare Command, the home of the Navy SEALs. As you all know, we're now smack in the middle of our favorite month of the year, June, which of course celebrates the righteous and pure pride of the entire holy acronym string in all its shifting forms and flavors. Well, to kick off Pride Month, the social media for the SEALs posted a simple, elegant, and utterly inclusive rainbow-themed picture with the words NSW for Naval Special Warfare, Dignity, Service, Respect, Equality, Pride beneath the official logo of the SEALs Command. What a profound expression of solidarity with the rest of the military community that sex and sexual love in any form at any time you find it is utterly compatible with the military mission, period. Now, some of the heathen who hang on to their repressive traditional sex ethics have expressed outrage that the SEALs, perhaps the last obscure bastion, the last secure bastion of traditional masculinity, would so publicly convert to the way of the rainbow warrior. But are we to believe that any military unit is better off without a culture of open and loving sexuality? Of course not. Yes, even though NSW and NSFW are different acronyms, we see now how they can really represent the same thing. But there's a deeper meaning here, which we also want to celebrate. At one time, the U.S. military was a haven for people who believed in repressive traditional values like God, country, and the existence of just two genders. This, of course, facilitated recruiting from the vast pool of religiously conservative young men who were eager to serve their country. We have gradually been doing, of course, is make the military a place of such hostility to those values that the older service members who hold them leave voluntarily, and so that the young people who hold them have no interest in enlisting. Could there be any more profound statement by the Pentagon that there really is no place left in the American military for people who cleave to their antiquated views of morality and religion than bringing the pride rainbow to the SEAL teams? As the new slogan of the NSW proclaims, make love, not special warfare. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
If you are a first-time visitor, please fill out the mandatory paperwork found in your announcement pamphlet. We no longer call them bulletins for obvious reasons. Under the portions requesting evidence of your virtue, just put your social media accounts and an estimate of how much money you gave to Greenpeace, the Sierra Club, and the National Organization for Women last year. Also, be sure to join us after the service in Peopleship Hall for some casual conversation about generally insignificant topics. Trust us, it's a very safe space. Refreshments this week are provided by Once Bitten, Twice Dry, the all-natural flavor-enhancing powder made from the dehydrated blood of vampire bats. Long revered by the Apumoni peoples of southwestern Guatemala for its restorative powers and as a homeopathic remedy for everything from premature hair loss to canine incontinence, try Once Bitten, Twice Dry, a seasoning whose taste, the virtue of which you just won't believe.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 on News Radio Pensacola. John has got our traffic for us. John?
How do you follow that up? It's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. It's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to let you know about. Traffic is flowing very smoothly right now. Just seeing some slowdowns around the construction area on Highway 90 headed into Pace and out of Pace. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
You just need a little more once bitten, twice dry powder on your donut.
I know.
That's all you need. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, New Jersey's former attorney general testified yesterday in Senator Bob Menendez's federal corruption trial in New York. Gerbier Gruwald confirmed prosecutors' allegations that Menendez twice called him while he was the state's attorney general in an attempt to interfere with an insurance fraud investigation. The prosecution alleges Menendez made those calls after being bribed by an associate of the subject of that investigation. Hunter Biden's federal firearms trial resuming in Delaware again today.
Two more witnesses for the prosecution expected today in Hunter Biden's felony gun trial, following deeply personal testimony from the widow of Hunter's brother, Beau, about what she knew of Hunter's drug use and the gun he bought in 2018.
And that's Alice Barr from NBC. Hallie Biden testified yesterday about tossing the gun into a dumpster outside of that grocery store.
And not to put too fine a point on it, but in the every 20 minutes using crack, buying a gun illegally, and dating his dead brother's widow.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden meets with Ukraine's President Zelensky in Paris, apologizing for a delay in military aid that was held up and then approved by Congress.
Today I'm also signing an additional package for $225 million to help you reconstruct the electric grid.
President Zelensky says it's important for the Ukrainian people to know they're not alone in the fight against Russia. It'll be day five of the president's son Hunter Biden's federal trial in Delaware, where he's accused of lying about drug use on a form to buy a gun.
Two more witnesses are expected to be called, a drug expert and an FBI chemist. And then the prosecution is expected to rest its case. And of course, the star witness was Hallie Biden, Hunter Biden's sister-in-law and sometime lover. She spent over 5 hours testifying.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson, the defense team has not said whether Hunter Biden will testify. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 74 degrees right now. Firefighters were called to a jet ski fire yesterday in the Santa Rosa Sound. That happened off the shore of Soundside Drive. A caller reported the jet ski was on fire about 300 feet out. The jet ski rider luckily was not hurt in that fire. Firefighters were able to tow the vessel to shore and extinguish the flames. The FWC is assisting with that investigation. A Santa Rosa County judge has set the first hearing date for the legal battle between Milton City Attorney Alex Andrade and Mayor Heather Lindsay. The News Journal reports that Judge Scott Duncan set a date of June 13th to hear arguments on a motion to subpoena Lindsay's phone records from AT&T. Last month, the Milton City Council authorized Andrade to file the lawsuit. He alleges that Lindsay has refused to comply with public records requests made during the hiring of former city manager Scott Collins. Pensacola's Red Lobster restaurant may not have much time left after the restaurant chain filed bankruptcy last month. Initially, the restaurant near Cordova Mall was not included in the list of closures. The updated list includes possibly the Pensacola location and Fort Walton Beach locations. For now, that would leave the nearest Red Lobster restaurant in Mobile. The company's over $1 billion in debt and says they have less than $30 million cash on hand. Yesterday was the Florida's first Revive Awareness Day. Now, that's under a new law signed by the governor recently. The day shines a light on the dangers of opioid overdoses and the power of naloxone to save lives.
Blue or purple fingernails and lips, pinpoint-sized pupils, pale, clammy skin, slow, irregular heartbeat and breathing, unresponsive to voice and touch.
Attorney General Ashley Moody there. She says naloxone is now free to first responders statewide, and Floridians can also purchase it at the drugstore to have on hand if they have a family member or friend that may need it. Well, Boeing's Starliner is now safely docked at the International Space Station. The two-person crew docked yesterday at about noon.
At 12:34 p.m. Central Time, above the southern Indian Ocean, we have confirmation of contact and capture of NASA's Boeing crew flight test and Starliner aboard the International Space Station. Butch and Sonny have made their arrival.
And that came after the spacecraft did miss its first docking window earlier that day. There were some problems with the thrusters, also some reports of helium leaks yesterday. Late Wednesday, NASA said those leaks had been detected since the spacecraft arrived in orbit. It lifted off Wednesday morning at Cape Canaveral. A Tate High grad is headed towards a national rodeo championship now after winning the Alabama High School Rodeo last weekend. Lexi Nelson's her name. She won the barrel racing title with her horse, MJ, and is now qualified to go after that national title in Wyoming. Nelson's been competing in barrel racing for about 3 years now, tells Channel 3 her goal is to use her horse to create a therapy program for young autistic adults. She'll be competing in the National Rodeo Championship in Rock Springs, Wyoming next month. It's 6:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing?
Well, it's brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Taking a look at the roadways right now, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. We are seeing some slowdowns on Avalon Boulevard over in Milton trying to get on I-10. Everybody, don't cut in front of people. Just stay in that one right-hand lane. Just friendly advice there. I'm John Pickens with a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 6:35 at News Radio. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Nice sunny skies continue for Saturday with a high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Rounding out the weekend with sunshine and a high near 92 and a low near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we have 74 degrees in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. For News Radio, Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The panel overseeing St. Louis-Lambert International Airport has signed off on $650 million in new spending, most of it tied to Lambert's $2.8 billion plan to consolidate its two terminals into a single new passenger concourse. More than $100 million will go to designing the new terminal, a new main garage, roadway improvements, and more. Boeing's new capsule has successfully arrived at the International Space Station after last-minute thruster trouble almost derailed the mission. Boeing plans to keep Starliner at the space station for at least 8 days before guiding it to a landing in the western U.S. If all goes well, Boeing Starliner will be used to transport astronauts to and from the space station on a regular basis. Futures are currently mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 78, the NASDAQ down 14, and the S&P 500 down 1. Once again, futures are mixed. That's your money now.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable?
Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Talk to me about what you can expect when you show up at Whiting. What can you expect?
Sure. You show up to Whiting and you're coming from Knife 2. We do have a little bit of a wait here. I think it's most recently we're advertising, if you come from the Navy, it's about 5 or 6 months before you will start primary.
Wow.
Now that's just a little bit of a backlog we have in our T-6 Texan, which is the aircraft that we fly, production. So you come,
but that number ebbs and flows, right? So
sure.
2 years from now, it might be totally different.
There's a bit of an accordion effect when it comes to this production, right? And so sometimes it shrinks, sometimes it grows. This is sort of the phase that we're in right now.
This is Nick Fialka, the host of the Ready for Pushback podcast, talking with the Commodore Training Air Wing 5 at NAS Whiting Field. Colonel Fez Crockle, Anthony Fez Crockle, who we talked with last week for our Meet Your Tenant Command segment and learned all about what they do. And, you know, different commands are going to be of different sizes. I'm just telling you that, you know, what Training Wing 5 does at Whiting is kind of like this enormous thing. We could have talked for hours and not even finished. But that's something we're doing every Friday at 7:38 or 39, something like that. This morning, we're going to switch to NAS Pensacola, and we have the Commodore Training Air Wing 6 is going to be on with us. So be sure to check that out. But I thought this podcast gave a lot of additional details or elements about naval aviation that I found personally very interesting. I mean, I know I'm a little bit of a nerd on the subject, but since it's here and what happens here, I figured most of you would find this interesting as well. Talking about the student naval aviators.
Navy has started a program called a SNA, or Student Naval Aviator Junior Officer Course. That course does many of the same things, gives them an introduction to aviation, it gives them some idea of what to expect in primary, and then also get some classes on overall professional development, what to expect in the fleet once they show up there.
So when you've got the downtime because the pipeline is full and they can't get them in to the training process at Whiting, but they've gone through their knife training at NAS Pensacola, then what do? Just let them sit around and do nothing? Or do you give them some preliminary and basic instruction that kind of helps transition them and keep them occupied? And, you know, occupied sailors make, you know, better end results, obviously. And also, you know, something that you've heard a lot, maybe you've heard about, is like, how willing or eager are the instructors to get you to quit? You know, like, are they trying to make it really hard? And my takeaway from this is that the short version is that in primary flight instruction, it's not that they're trying to make you quit, but if you are going to quit and not make it as a pilot, they want to find that out as quickly as possible. And it is a very, very rigorous. So it's not the sort of thing where they're, you know, out to get you, but they are out to test you and identify the ones that are really going to do well. And if they can, by contrast, identify the ones that are not, or it's just not a right fit for you, well, we're going to find something else in the Navy for you to do.
You can quit aviation anytime you want.
It's never too late to quit.
We actually encourage folks, right, if they just, if their heart's not into it, we actually encourage them to quit early.
Yeah.
It will help their longer term career implications so they can sort of establish their reputation and build experience in a different job sector. And then also, frankly, and perhaps even selfishly, it reduces the burden of production on us. I mean, we spend a tremendous amount of the taxpayer dollars and internal resources with the planes, instructor pilots, or IPs to create students. And we just really hate someone to see somebody drop or quit right at the very end.
Right. You're wasting resources on them if that's what happens. And then they talked a little bit about some of these sort of, I don't know, interesting ceremonies. This was one I didn't know anything about, but the tie cutting ceremony after you get your first solo flight done.
You mentioned the solo, right? So you conduct your solo. And what we do in the maritime services and Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, is we have a really cool ceremony. And I'm sure you have some great stories about this as an IP. And I'm bringing back some memories, I'm sure, Nick, is the tie cutting.
Yeah, I have my ties right over here. I got all my ties.
There's an area here called ACES. It's basically a heritage room with a lot of really neat old photos and memorabilia from Naval Aviation. And the instructor pilot, or the student, will start out first. The student will tell a story about their instructor pilot, probably embellished. And then the instructor pilot will tell a story about the student. And then at the conclusion of that, the tie will be cut. And that's a very sort of symbolic thing. The student will come with a tie around his flight suit, and the instructor will cut the tie. And it symbolizes the student's now ready to fly solo.
Interesting. And ACES is the kind of like the on-base bar, basically.
It's kind of a neat story historically. So, you know, pilots used to wear, you know, these long scarves, right? And the student would sit up front, and the instructor would sit in the back. And when the instructor wanted to get the student's attention, they would yank on the scarf, right? And when the scarf was no longer needed to be yanked on because the student's experience level was good enough, then there was no more yanking on the scarf.
I love it.
So the scarf eventually changed to a tie. So the idea is the shorter you cut the tie, the better off the student. The longer you cut the tie, i.e. the more likelihood that you had to yank it still.
That's right. The
not so good was, you know, experience for the student.
I've got a lot of different length ties. That's all I'll say.
Now, John, you have a civilian aviation license, right?
Well, I'm almost there.
You're working
there.
Okay.
Yes.
But you do something similar.
Right. Well, on your first solo as a civilian pilot, they cut your shirt.
Oh, all right.
You do your first solo, they cut your shirt and pin it up on the board.
Interesting. All right. So that's a tradition that transcends military aviation or something like it. 646 here on News Radio Pensacola. Again, that's Colonel Anthony Fez Crockle, the Commodore at Training Air Wing 5 at Whiting Field on the Ready for Pushback podcast. It's a podcast aimed at pilots and future pilots. People might be considering a career in the military, is my understanding of it, with Nick Fialka. John Scott, Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. It's brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everyone to feel special with live 24/7 customer service. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. The roadways are rolling smooth right now. I-110, I-10, all flowing smoothly, even in through East Milton is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. When I say words like BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, Lexus, you think of good quality vehicles. You probably paid extra to get them if you have one. You might think you've got to pay extra to service them at the dealership, and that's all you really have as an option. And it's not all you have as an option. You can take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these vehicles all the time. By law, you don't have to go to the dealership. The law protects you from having to go to the dealership. You can go anywhere you want. And if it's time, if it's distance, if it's, you know, gas and the extra price of going to the dealership, these are all things you can avoid paying. Go to Bobby Likas Auto Service. They work on those cars, domestic cars, you know, gas engines, diesel engines, Chevy, Ford, Lexus, you know, whatever it is, they work on it. And the philosophy there is that they want to see you a little bit more regularly than perhaps you would, you know, think of on your own. But the idea there is to prevent the big thing. Routine scheduled preventative maintenance keeps you from having the catastrophe that costs a lot and is super inconvenient to you. The philosophy is represented in their website name, carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car is the idea. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. Getting back to the podcast, because I just thought there were some really interesting notes in this podcast. One was that, and we talked about this with Fez last week, is that when they're at the very end of their training pipeline, they do a thing called cross-country flights, which kind of makes sense, even though you maybe wouldn't have thought of it, that, you know, the folks from Whiting would take off and fly to, you know, Dallas or Miami or D.C.
I do a lot of cross-countries here, and I'll tell you, the T6 is a very capable platform. I will do our cross-countries in 1,000 nautical miles in any given direction from Pensacola. That takes me as far west as Denver, as far north as Chicago and then New York, and covers all of Florida to include Key West, which is where I was at for Fantasy Fest a few weeks ago.
And in case you were wondering, they do have fun sometimes on these cross-country flights, not during the flying necessarily, but at the destination. They're events.
And in I'm sorry. I didn't know you were playing that. But in civilians, we have to do a cross-country flight also that's over 3 hours away from your airport.
Oh, okay. So all right, so same thing, same concept. Okay.
Got a burger, turned around and came back. But I wasn't as fast as the T6s. Sorry.
I am taking students to great places.
What'd you go do last weekend? Tell them what you did last weekend.
So last weekend, I took a T6. We landed at Tampa International. And that Friday night, we went to go see Zach Brown Band. Concert. I planned the cross country around that concert. It was absolutely fantastic. Saturday, toured Ybor City and the riverfront.
Smoked some cigars.
Sunday, I went for a 10-mile run along the bay. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. It's pretty. I mean, look, if you're going to be a pilot, you know, be a pilot and, you know, really find out what it's like to fly across all kinds of places and go different locations and have some fun and do some stuff. One of the other notes, and I thought this is interesting for those of you that have been following the, remember, they're in a changeover phase right now. They're changing from the very, very, very old Ranger, Jet Ranger helicopter to the new TH-73 Thrasher. We covered this extensively. That's why Leonardo Helicopters has built this extra space on the corner of Whiting Field for maintenance, repair, and overhaul, and that's being developed into a, you know, a hybrid military/civilian facility and, you know, Backgate Access and Don Salter Road and all of this stuff, okay? So this is kind of big stuff for what's going on at Whiting. How far along in the transition are they from the old to the new helicopters?
So we have 65 of these aircraft on station. Effectively is our halfway mark. We're buying 130 overall. We still have over 100 of the TH-57. That's the 206 Jet Ranger, the Bell 206 Jet Ranger. We still have over 100 of those here as well. And we're sundowning those probably about 2 to 3 a month. We should be completely out of the Bell Jet Ranger business in less than 2 years' time.
Okay, so 2 to 3 a month are going away, and in about 2 years, they're going to be completely transitioned over. And you might wonder, I think it's a natural thing to wonder, what's going to happen to all those old Bell Jet Rangers?
What are they doing with the old helicopters?
So, believe it or not, some of them are going to NASA. Some of them are going to our partners and allies. So Uruguay has already registered interest in buying a lot of these. Sorry, not a whole bunch, but like a number of them. Some of them are going to end up on sticks in front of
my house,
restaurants and museums and
yeah,
Whiting Field. And then
I'm bringing my trailer when I come down in a couple weeks. My wife is going to be not happy.
And then, you know, and a lot of them, geez, you'll probably be shaving with some of them in 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning they'll be scrap metal. They'll be razor blades. Last piece of this, and only because we're kind of in this process of talking about all of these tenant commands and what happens here locally. Like I said, I just found that the podcast was fascinating. We never got to talk about this with Fez last week, but one of the new innovations is they're creating a side pipeline for training helicopter pilots where they don't, my understanding is they don't go through primary flight instruction on the North Field at Whiting, but they go into a thing called Copter, which is run by private training entities.
I would say that it's probably the most innovative change to the way naval aviation training for helicopters is being conducted in the last 40 years, probably since we transitioned from the Huey 40 years ago. So we are now taking volunteers for a program called COPTR. COPTR stands for Contractor Operated Pilot Training Rotary.
Okay.
That's modeled after an Air Force program that they used to train their 90 pilots a year. Now, by contrast, we are training 470 Navy, Marine, Coast Guard, and allied and partner student naval aviators on any given year.
Hey, I love the idea that the Navy's innovating on the basis of what other services have already tried successfully.
Will be more. So the program is done by Helicopter Institute. You had Randy Rowles on one of your former podcasts.
That's right. So they're going out to Texas.
They're going out to Fort Worth. They're flying with Randy and his team out of Meacham Field there. And it's 50 hours. It's 40 hours of this familiarization contact work, 10 hours of instrument training. And then at the conclusion of that three-month program, they will come to Southfield and enter directly, bypassing T6s and primary, enter directly into the advanced syllabus program. They'll fly for 112 hours, and they'll leave here with a total of 162 hours of exclusively helicopter time. This, I assure you, will make for a better helicopter pilot. They'll have more reps and sets, doing auto rotations, copter only instrument approaches. They will be more proficient.
And of course, there's multiple parts there. One is that it makes them more flexible in terms of the pipeline for using the helicopter training, you know, the south half of the field. It also means that they're going to get more direct instruction and experience on rotors instead of spending so much time on fixed wing first and then going to rotors. And it makes sense to me as an alternative, as a different way of developing helicopter pilots, which, you know, Fez wouldn't be doing it if he didn't think that it was going to make better pilots in the end. 6:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. Let's go back to John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Take a look at the traffic right now. Just seeing one accident that happened over in Midway, Navarre Parkway and Alabama Street. Also, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Even East Milton is looking good. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. If you've got a business, you've got employees, you got to deal with benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources management, payroll, all of that stuff. Torgerson Causey, they are good at this. And if you love what you're doing right now, great. You might still want to call them just to find out if maybe it can be done a little bit better. If you don't love what you're doing right now, definitely call them. We started using them, gosh, now seven years ago. And, I thought things were okay with our former provider. I didn't know how not okay they were. Like, it was really so much better with Torgerson Causey. Better plans, better options, control, just having choices. And, you know, we can always ask questions, and they always either have or will find the answers. Rita's great at going and finding the answers. And, you know, my wife's an engineer, so she asks very detailed questions. And she gives them her stamp of approval, which you do not get easily from my wife if you are an insurance representative. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell and Company Realty,
your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top.
So when it comes to real estate, trust us at BuySellCannell.com.
That's BuySellCannell.com.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Your Honor, may I have permission to treat Ms. Vito as a hostile witness?
You think I'm hostile? Now wait till you see me tonight.
Do you two know each other?
Yeah, she's my fiance.
Well, that would certainly explain the hostility.
That is actually one of my all-time favorite Paul Simon songs. 6:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump is campaigning in Arizona. Heat exhaustion apparently sent 11 people to the hospital yesterday as they were waiting in line for a campaign event in Phoenix. Temps there hit over 110 yesterday. There were videos on social media showing the people being stretchered out.
That's not even the hottest it gets in Phoenix.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.